Thank you, Chair. I think those are three set of questions. Why is local loop unbundling is not something we seek to prioritise at this time? We don't believe it's going to happen quickly. There's been a lot of focus, obviously, on high demand spectrum. We know that there's court action at the moment. Certainly throughout Ikos's presentation this morning, they emphasised again and again the importance of spectrum. Honestly, with the court cases, with the delays, with what appears to be a disjunct between policy proposed by the department and the direction in which the regulator wishes to go, we don't see that as a short-term solution or even a medium-term solution. Absolutely sympathise with the views of those in the industry who feel like they are being unfairly constrained and not given access to spectrum which they need to grow for their own ends, not necessarily for the ends of reducing the cost to communicate or universal access. But we don't believe that spectrum forms part of the solution in the short to medium term, which is what this committee would be looking at. So, yes, wireless local loop unbundling is part of the long road. If it ever happens. It's interesting that we contrast that with telecom and local loop unbundling, which we know never happened. It's now pretty much irrelevant. I think Ikos had pointed out, or perhaps it was the department saying that actually that's just part of a bigger issue of access now. But local loop unbundling at the time was opposed by Telkom on the basis that they didn't want to allow the ISPs access to their copper local loop because they believed that the ISPs, not just the ISPs but the mobile networks as well, would come in and cherry pick the most profitable exchanges. They would take away from Telkom their most profitable revenue earning exchanges. So they resisted LLU, even though it was initially announced by the late Minister Kastaburi in 2007. And in 2016 now, we're starting to see the consequences of Telkom's decision, which is that people haven't used their local loop, their copper, to compete with them. People have laid out their own fiber in those areas, in Parkhurst, up the road here, in the wealthier areas, in the business estates, in the gated communities, which is where Telkom was making its money from ADSL. It is now being kicked out completely. And there's fiber in those areas. And Telkom is now waking up and realizing that it is also needing to deploy fiber as quickly as possible and get it into the ground. And perhaps that's the kind of unintended consequence which eventually flows from a failure to realize that you should share equitably as opposed to trying to keep everything for yourself. The open access, I think, I probably just answered that question in terms of where does the competition happen. And again, let's look at one of these next generation fiber networks which is going up all over in the metros. Vumatel would be a good example to take. They were one of the first in Parkhurst, Parkview in Johannesburg. They're now busy rolling out in Cape Town. Dark Fiber Africa have been doing a similar thing, and there are a number of others. If you go to, and I'd be happy to distribute details, but a website like fiberportal.com, and you look at the pricing which is available to consumers on those networks, you will be astounded at how low it is. It is orders of magnitude lower than DSL costs, and it's orders of magnitude lower than mobile data costs. So what happens is that fiber provider goes in, that fiber provider goes in, he puts the network down. Fiber is different from spectrum. There's no limit to the amount, theoretically, of capacity which that fiber network can carry. So he has his clear economic imperative is to fill that pipe up with traffic as quickly as he possibly can. So he says, right, I could say I'm Vumatel, the network service provider, and I'm Vumatel, the ISP, but I'm not going to get everyone here to sign up with Vumatel, the ISP. Some guys like AfriHost, some like Telkom, some like MWeb. So I'm going to invite AfriHost and MWeb and Telkom and all the other ISPs to come and compete on top of my network for the custom of all those who are reached by the fiber network. And that is where the competition happens, at that service layer, and it's driving prices down dramatically, as you will see. In terms of broadband rollouts and the use of spectrum efficient provisions in rural areas, I could not say it better than Dr. Johnson from the CSIR has spoken about dynamic spectrum access. He's spoken about license exempt. I think there's a lot of things that can be done there, and let me try and atone for my attitude towards the regulator by saying this is an area in which they have done some really good things. So without being overly technical, the regulator has dramatically reduced fees for point-to-point links across all bands of spectrum over the last 5 years. It's made a huge difference in terms of rural deployment. They've recently reduced the costs for, or looking at reducing the costs for all links over 50 gigahertz. They're making more license-exempt spectrum available. They're looking at 5 gigahertz. So there are a number of things coming out of ICASA's engineering and spectrum division which are actually speaking directly towards this brief of reducing the cost to communicate in rural areas. Chair, I think I've covered it. If I haven't, let me know.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I noted that you had indicated that you've got a conference that you had organized long time ago that you need to get back to Johannesburg. Really appreciate the submission and the input and the presentation of that. Members, we move to the last presentation of our day, led by Mr. Thabo Modife. The team, you can come through so that you are closer to members here. I noted he's got Mr. Gareth Cliff with him, presenting on the perspective of SMME. Yeah, members are about to sing in case they make it. I hope it will be audible and you'll use the mic. Okay, let's try that. They've asked you the short clips first before they present.
My name is
Susan.
About 6-7 years ago, I used to already on the data market and all of that. 10 megabytes is going a long way. Now, likely 10 megabytes can't just do anything about it, especially the kind of content that we're getting from the internet, like your business content and all that. But now, my question is, why as a country are you opening the spectrum? Why are you keeping it all to cell phone? Because that's the only thing that makes data expensive.
My parents money, the local radio, and obviously it is bankrupt.
Saturday at a small business meeting that was held in Tembisa, which we support.
Honorable Chair, good afternoon to the Executive Committee and the Communications, and all respected guests that are joining us this afternoon. I feel like a politician for 2 seconds. I will say all protocol observed. It is an honor to have this House recognize our cause. We have been fighting this battle of data, and the previous presentations speak very loud to our presentation today, but I'm just going to briefly take you through the challenges that the SMEs are faced with. I'm speaking from a point of small, micro, and medium enterprises, also to voice the cries of the students out there. We are aware of what's happening nationwide today. But to give you a brief perspective, with Touch Central is an online station co-owned by myself, Thibaut Touch, and Gareth Cliff. We operate online, and the basis of our business purely depends on the data being affordable, being accessible to the rest of our listeners. Just like any other business, as the previous lady did mention, we've evolved today where our modern hierarchy of needs, data is an essential as food, shelter, and clothing. I'm just going to take you through some of the challenges that are faced with small businesses. This campaign founded, obviously, was, it's been there, a lot of people have made noise, but till we picked it up, it took me to be in the space of operating a business where my domain is data to realize how South African customers have been taken for granted. And with my extensive experience traveling across Africa, there's evidence-based argument that the same network providers in South Africa are reasonably, or if not way much cheaper in other regions than they are in South Africa. You will buy a gig in Ghana for 22 rands, where it's 149 in South Africa, by the very same network provider whose primary base is in South Africa. Their headquarters being in Joburg, and their customers in their backyard, but they are way much cheaper abroad because competition allows them to be more volume-driven than to be value-driven. I'd like to talk more about Touch Central and what we depend on. We have employed, in the month of September, a group of 24 young people, of which 70% of them are under the age of 35. These are breadwinners in their households, and they work in a company that highly relies on the accessibility and affordability of data. We sent out an outcry on Twitter, which is today the most effective way to get the world to talk and have a non-hostile conversation, and thank God it's been non-hostile. However, the networks have not responded to our calls. Once again, we are grateful that this House recognized our calls and to present our case. But we are at the point where, for years, we are quite aware that it's all profit-based. Data can be reduced, the networks can reduce the cost. I read an interesting article this morning on New Age, where Vodacom did respond, and I'm glad their response was to the media house, not responding to the data must fall. But an interesting part I picked up in their response is that they'll make decisions based on their line of business, if it suits the business, but also consider the customer based on the decision that they will make. However, Cell C was adamant that they've saved the customer 49 billion. Now, as an entrepreneur, in an environment that data is so expensive, I try to ask myself, how does the 49 billion save relate to me? How does it relate to an entrepreneur in Khayelitsha, Kuguletu, or in Polokwane? We don't know those margins. So to throw numbers that you've saved 49 billion, it's totally unwarranted. We'd like to also urge the House to request the networks to have an open conversation with their pricing strategy on data. I'd like to discuss the campaign hashtag data must fall, which was a closing argument of my previous speaker. It happens to be our opening argument. The biggest challenge that we face, obviously, are these high data prices, and South Africans cannot afford to accept the world or compete with the world. We pride ourselves to be part of BRICS, but if you look at Brazil, India, Russia, and China, their pricing are so low versus South African data prices. And if we are to build an ecosystem of progressive entrepreneurial society, you will expect us to interact and sell our ideas and products to the world. And the only way we can do so is by the use of the internet, by the use of data. Small businesses are struggling. Government is out preaching e-learning, and it's a great concept. I support that. I applaud our MEC in Gauteng of Education, Banyazade Sufi, who's held the flag quite high to say, I support Data Must Fall, because he's pioneering an e-learning space in primary schools and townships. Now, you have this amazing program by government, but the mechanics to solicit information is expensive. We cannot be excited about such programs until there's an intervention to reduce the cost of data. I did make my examples of what's happening in the rest of Africa, and I don't want to go into Europe where it's possible to get unlimited data for a set price. I.e. in Russia, you get unlimited data for 40 rand, you get unlimited data for a month. So we are not raising our voice without a structure or without evidence out there of what's possible. South Africa, if you look at the rest of the world, 49% in SA. The South African internet economy and contribution to the GDP has grown and it continues to grow. The networks are relying on our businesses like Touch Central, which you stream through the use of internet. We are contributing to their profit, but they're not considering our cry to reduce data. What we would like to see happening, which I'm going to ask Gareth to come in later, we'd like to see a conversation between a student who could not make it to classroom because of the exorbitant price of petrol or probably missed a lecture, like other first world, where today's lessons are uploaded on a server. Some lessons are uploaded on YouTube, and there are some information, there's some textbooks that Amazon has made public to be available. There are students who can't afford textbooks. There are some internship programs that are being listed by companies. Young people cannot access this information if they don't have access to reasonable data. Our argument is not to make data free. We are saying if you can present the same case study in other parts of Africa and you are operating within our shores, why can't the same discount or the same pricing structure apply in South Africa? Let me quickly talk about sustainability of our business. We are an aspiring e-commerce business. Like it or not, it cannot sustain or cannot be progressive if we operate under the current restrictions of high data rate experienced by consumers and day-to-day operations. South African media and communications cannot remain in this stone age. As a result, the centuries of colonial degradation and the mass of poor in South Africa who happen to be black are excluded from enjoying the reward of communications revolutions that have swept the world. Today, even those South Africans that have had a small footage in the communications highway are heavily suffocated by the cost of communication to the point that they barely use it. I, for instance, have found probably about 4 gadgets. And I get excited when I see my 7-year-old son being able to navigate his way on an iPad. But if we had access to free data, there are programs on how to build software. A 7-year-old Chinese kid is building games and software for other children. That the same, if it was to be possible in South Africa. We are not saying the kids in China are more smarter or the young people in Kenya who have pioneered amazing app applications online are way smarter than the young people here in South Africa. The issue is affordability of data. And until then, we realize that we are depriving our people from not just growing in the space of business, but we deprive them from dealing and interacting and understand how the world operates. We can't position ourselves as a developing nation or aspiring to be the first world if today we still have problems that keep us in a stone age, and that being the necessity to make data affordable to the rest of the South Africans. These are some of the examples from people that follow us on our timeline on Twitter. There's been an outcry. We've received over 120 million impressions in a period of 4 days over the hashtag data must fall. Now, one of the examples that was raised, I found this quite interesting. A young man, Shane Jen, said, how are people in rural areas supposed to search jobs online with data prices? There's no free Wi-Fi in rural areas. Now, again, we talk about programs to roll out jobs as a government, and we've been urged as SMMEs to ensure that we create these opportunities. But then again, how do we advertise these job placements? Gone are the days of buying the star and looking to the classified section if you can find a job. All of these are online. This information lives online. And we keep repeating the circle of poverty. If ever Wi-Fi is available in certain metropolitan key areas, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, students in townships, who I believe if we could roll out fiber and give access to Wi-Fi in such areas, we'll see people will actually forget rehabilitation programs. You know, I see a lot of programs being are initiated in townships of rehabilitation. People don't need rehabilitation. People need to be engaged in an ongoing progressive economy. And that can only happen if you give them the ability to communicate. So I'm urging the House. I'm quite aware there's a conversation with the networks tomorrow. But the data must fall. Again, it's not a hostile campaign. We are not going to march to any of the network's headquarters. We have a serious following on Twitter all over. My name lately has changed. When I pour gas at a gas station, they don't call me Touch anymore. They call me Mr. Data Must Fall. And the truth of the matter is, it's hurting the rich, average, middle income, and the poor, because there are a lot of services that we can render to our customers, but we are deprived from doing so because it's expensive for our customers to even engage us. So I'm going to call my partner, Gareth Lipp, to give out what is our proposal to the House and possible solutions that we ask through your intervention to the networks, we can see them being implemented soon.
Far be it for me to suggest what the House should do. Thank you, Touch. I don't have a lot to add. There is a philosophical element to this, which I think has wide-ranging implications for many people in South Africa. There's an opportunity here to emancipate a huge number of women and children who are not able to access information, who are not able to communicate, build their own networks to connect with other people. These could be supportive in a social sense, they could be empowering in an economic sense, they could be tremendously powerful tools in every community and available to every person if they were only affordable. And again, as Touch has already said, we are not in battle here against the networks, we're not in battle against governments. We realize there are some concessions from both parties in this discussion, and from all three if you include the SMMEs, that can allow for a compromised solution where people realize the true profit motive, if that's what your motive is, if you're a business, lies in bringing a mass of people to a platform they're already on, to a place they already know about. We must be very careful not to underestimate that even very poor people in South Africa prioritize data sometimes over other important expenses in their lives. That these people regard data as being the single thing which may be able to emancipate them from the situation they're in. If we can do anything in this August House, if we can do something in the halls of large mobile operators, and if we can do them on a small business level, there isn't very much that we can't achieve, because by taking the whole of society up in such an enormous leap, just by reducing these costs, we do everyone a favor. We remove so many obstacles and barriers between rich and poor, between people who have access and people who don't. It is incumbent upon us, and I say this now as someone who runs a small business, to provide people with options, alternatives, means to connect, means to communicate. And if we can't do that here by some kind of discussion around where these things can be alleviated for very poor people and for everyone else, then we're running against a brick wall every time. I'm very, very pleased that we were invited, Chair, and thank you. I think our particulars in terms of the statistical research has very well been presented by ISPA already, what the situation is in terms of broadband, in terms of fiber networks that are being laid out. There are solutions, and the technology is becoming cheaper. Data will, in any case, be half the price that it is now, by this time next year, if all current trends are observed. But if we can accelerate that, we will be doing ordinary South Africans the greatest service we can do to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to interact with us. I'm going to open for members. I'm going to open rounds to questions, discussions on the presentation. I'm just looking. Honorable Shin, you are the first one. Honorable Kodeti, the second one. Mr. Mbu, and then Dr. Johnson. Looking across to see. Okay. Those are the hands that I've got. Oh, I must have got the end, sorry. Yeah, I must only serve. Look at the site. An option leader.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this presentation and for the enthusiasm and impetus that you're raising around this issue. I think this is absolutely great. What I would like to know, though, do any of the people who've been in touch with you, any of your business people that have gathered around you, do they at all see themselves as part of the solution? And what I'm talking about in particular is the presentation that we've had from CSIR and ISPA just now, is that there's at least for a whole lot of small business people in rural areas are already building these networks with unlicensed data and unlicensed spectrum and making it available far cheaper than anybody else. Would there be an opportunity for your followers here to actually become part of the solution by establishing those kind of networks?
Thank you. Sure. Great question.
Note them so that we get everybody. Is that fine? Okay, let's get them to just know the issues that are being raised so that you respond at the end. You manage. Honorable Sotetsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me say the uploading hashtag data was for taking the initiative to provide information regarding the employment. The 50% of which are under the age of 35, because we never know. We're also aware that the cost of Medicaid may have adverse impact on your that the other provinces are far below Western Cape. And also a breakdown of, you know, whether it's rural or urban, so that we can be able to assess whether there's a growth in urban areas. One of the programs in the government initiatives is to make sure that there's development in rural areas. It can get a breakdown. Thank you.
Mr. Mpu?
Kyalebo Aulu, Shalinga Pami, Excellent. I'm South African.
I'm inspired.
Wow. No, no, Jen. Thanks, Jen. I just wanted to ask to you, fellow business partners, is your data must fall targeting government, business, or ICASA? If not, if you could be in their shoes, what intervention would you bring in? Last question, data must fall at what percentage? Because everyone has been talking about the high cost of communication, but there is no resolution at what percentage that we should negotiate based on. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Dr. Johnson?
Yeah, thank you, Thabo Touch and Gareth Cliff, for Thibaut Touch, for bringing this into the public domain and raising awareness. I think it's fantastic. My challenge is maybe to expand our imagination a little bit around data must fall, and we heard from the SRC about the cost of educational material, that maybe we could start a hashtag all educational material should be free, something like hashtag education material free, something like that. You guys are good at this kind of stuff. But the point is that all school material, all universities should have their material access for free. So it's not just about data must fall. Certain material, I think, should be free. And I think the problem is these services like Facebook Zero, they tell us what should be free. I think we should choose what we think is important to be free. So that's just a suggestion or an expansion to the campaign. Thanks.
Thank you very much for those questions and comments. I think maybe before you answer, still need to
follow. You're right. Thank you, Chair. Although most of thank you very much, Gareth and Tibotaj, for the presentation and your observations also, and including the employment of those young people under the age of 35. So they really do fall into the category of young people in South Africa. I know that some of the statistics that you put here, it's what is there on the desktop, not your listenership or your outreach. I wanted to find out how big is your listenership or usership. I don't know how to call it online radio, usership or listenership. Okay, and mainly in which provinces. And do you find that there is also the age gap? Is it mostly young people or older people? And in rural areas, is there penetration or is there a connection? Or do you have approximately, how big is your listenership in rural areas? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, members, for your and colleagues from me for your comments and question. I think this presentation brings another element which is important in terms of dealing with the cost to communicate. And I think it's really appreciated in that sense. Just to check, because we're going to interact with the operators tomorrow, if we are to be presented with the fact that you are also a business, we are also a business. Now, if their sense is that you're starting a campaign because you're boosting your business, which is likely to kill their sense. from students, in fact, want to hear. And I was happy when you tried to get some of the other colleagues who are in the small business, because you couldn't invite everybody, and you really tried to be a representative of them, being having an opportunity here. Now, that's why it's important for me to look at this, and I've seen your setup. I've followed some of the comments that you've made previously, Timothy, on your interviews around the countries you've selected. Another argument could be, how are we not comparing apples with bananas? In our comparison in terms of the costs, are we comparing apple to apple? That you're comparing ourselves as a country to countries that are almost similar to us. The reason I'm saying this, if we are to look at, for example, China, China's population is way, way higher than ours. Now, basic economics, as business people would understand, the more you have in terms of consumption, because it's many people, and if you become expensive, you can lose. But as well, you are able to cover your cost. But whereas when it's lesser, it becomes more expensive. It's the same. I'm trying to find if you can give us even countries that are almost similar like ours, because Nigeria, in terms of population, are way too high for compared to us. Similar as China, similar as India. I'm not so sure about Russia. I must check about Russia and the, but I'm just checking. Are we just that? Are we comparing apples to apples when we talk about this cost on data? Now, with understanding how online radio stations operate and all that, I've had an opportunity. I didn't know the members at some point, and I had an opportunity to visit one in Randburg called the 30 radio stations, something like that, if I'm correct. And that's when I got to have a sense of how it operates, because it was a foreign concept. I think even many South Africans don't really understand how it operates. Now, for me to be able to access it, but in terms of your cost, it's me who is listening to you who has to have internet. And I think it's important for us to understand, especially with our view of moving online, on our digital, issues around digital migration and making sure that we have a lot of online radio station, TV, and all the things, the content that is moving online. Now, it's critical to understand the impact thereof. Is it the cost both ways? You as an SMME and us as users? That's one. And I think some of us are saying, where are we looking at? How to, when we say, and I sense that you said, you're not waging a war against the mobile operators, understanding that. And where are we looking at the impact and how do we deal with the impact? And I saw your proposals in terms of what you're wishing us to deal with. Now, when you say data must fall, for me it says deal with it, you know? So, where does it fall? Are we falling it halfway? I'm just saying. How are we dealing with it? What is your proposal in terms of that? High cost of data, yes. How are we looking at that in terms of finding areas of who will say, how are we going to say this is affordable? At what level, at what range, at range? Because if I need this, okay, and Dr. Johnson was speaking, if we are to look at, for me it's easy to justify to say for education, because we're providing it's about education, your health, your services, that must be free. But how do I justify data usage for somebody who's going to go online and download music and just listen to music? That I must champion as a public realm, must champion that interest. So I'm trying to, so that we can have this, or like, because I know you also not only just on SMMEs, but you within the entertainment industry, the impact of that, so that you can cover that. So, thank you very much. Honourable Mackenzie, the point with.
Just one. Just a clarity-seeking question through you, Chairperson, and perhaps a Carson could get involved. know that community radio stations, other radio stations, are licensed by ICASA. Are you licensed by ICASA, or are you exempt from that? Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let me address all the questions respectively. The question you raised, Honourable, about the partners to provide solutions. We did our own investigation before we could even start the hashtag, the data must fall. There's enough ISPs across the country today to roll out Wi-Fi. You have, we have a meeting on Thursday with Always On. Now, with Always On, if you've been to the airports across the country, you know that they give free Wi-Fi in certain areas in CBDs. You can make a phone call using data, as the gentleman said earlier, where through WhatsApp you can make a voice call. Through Skype you can make a voice call. So data is posing a threat for networks, because if we were to have all your ISPs, like your MWeb, Always On, coming together and say, how do we collectively, while we try to combat this battle of high cost, how do we roll out Wi-Fi areas, even in rural areas, where people can communicate by the use of data, which happens to be much cheaper if you make a voice call using data. Hence the network today are giving away free calls, they call it happy hour, in a bar that needs free alcohol. But the network's happy hour is between midnight and 5. For small business owners or aspiring students or anyone who wants to submit a proposal, I cannot between midnight and 5 a.m. communicate with a CEO or a marketing manager of any company that I'm trying to get sponsorship, bursaries, or any form of assistance, because that's a voice call privilege, which you know very well. Voice calls are becoming extinct today. You can't establish any form of business or solid communication that is written, that gives written evidence. So if networks can afford that, which answers Honorable Chair's last question, if the networks can afford to open those hours for free, it tells you in their balance sheet how much profit they can afford to give away. You are opening open calls between 12 and 5 because you are aware that the trend has changed. People no longer call as often as much as they do use data today. Voice calls have become less significant compared to data. So the ISPs will be the relevant partners. So start coming up with a solution to say, how many do we have across the country that can roll out enough Wi-Fi or enough affordable data services? Because I currently have MWeb offering me 200 gigs at $600 a month. When you have 1 gig, 149 rand with a network, and I get 200 at a price of 600. So you understand this is daylight robbery. Secondly, the issue of the funding available with the youth that you employ. I think the beauty of Gareth and I walked into this space realizing that we are going to create opportunities for people that are playing in IT space to also know that it's possible. It's not profitable. We are running a very expensive exercise with online radio. This campaign has actually caused, you know, networks to be quite reluctant to even engage in the possibilities of being our partners. There's enough evidence to, you know, present to the House that they haven't received this campaign well, and like I said, it's a non-hostile campaign. People today don't understand that what Gareth and I have pioneered, we have a first online 24-hour Pan-African radio station that can absorb audience in Kenya, Nigeria, by the use of downloading our app on App Store, Play Store. You are connected to what South Africa is talking about today, from a point of music, from a point of views with any topics. We are a research center. You want to get surveyed. This hashtag is one of the great examples of the power of online radio, what we are capable of doing. And we're like to know more about those opportunities of how can we further grow our business, what type of support we can get for SMME, and I'm sure there are also others out there, but the fear is they are not supported, they don't have the resources that we have to sustain themselves. So the truth is there are innovators out there, they just don't have the ability to sit on this chair and also have access to the information that you were sharing earlier on with some of the issues you're raising. Now, investing in more provinces, the breakdown in rural versus urban, what most ISPs have done, they've been very present in, you look at the estates, one thing when fiber was rolling out, the main places, fiber optics, they started building around the estates across the country, and obviously the rural areas become secondary. But you'll find something interesting. Our listeners, the day we opened, 1st September, the first guy to win a cell phone called from Malumlela in Limpopo. This is a young man, and the second caller came, I invited her in studio. She said, I've been following you from your previous radio station, and I'm such a big fan that I'm going to buy my mom an Android phone because she loves your program. I called her in studio, we sponsored her with a cell phone, we called the mother. The mother is in Polokwane, loves, has no idea how to even download an app on a phone. But interesting enough, she knows there's WhatsApp, there's internet, there's Facebook. And I said, how old is your mom? The mom is 58 years old. She's still young to me. She should understand just about what is Facebook or how to even get online to
laughing.
Thank you. And I think she's single, Honorable. So the reality is the reality is that from the inception of Touch Central, the penetration, the interaction we're getting, is not from a caller in Bryanston. It's not from a caller in Sandton. These are people, when you ask where you're calling from, you start realizing that, thank God for 4G. These are people, you say, how can they engage with us more if we made it? And I'm aware that they are spending to listen. For the first time, people are posed with the challenge of, if you loved what Gareth Cliff did when he was at 5FM, and you generally love him, you're going to have to follow him on Touch Central. And this is answering the question of, what is our listenership? On the first 2 weeks of our operation, the success of this campaign would have not reached us to get in this honorable institution today if we didn't have the support of people following us. The Touch Central is not a conventional radio station. We can give you stats live of who's listening and when and where they're coming from. Our listenership and the type of impression we reached an impression of 6.2 million audience on our first day of the launch, just from excitement. So the demand is there, people want to hear us, but we don't want people we don't want to make it excruciating for them to follow the likes of Gareth Cliff, Tingle Touch, and Neil Ranak, and more other DJs we've hired. So what percentage are we pricing or are we proposing? But before, in position of government, you, Honorable Chair, one of the questions that was raised is, who are we targeting? And again, we are a youth-based station, very much aware there's a mama in Polokwane who just loves hearing Tingle Touch playing some gospel songs on a Monday replenishment. So to confine ourselves to a particular group of audience, it would be unfair for the secondary market that can go up to 50. But our primary audience is 18 to 35, and they are there. We see them every time I'm on radio, I'm trending. For one to trend amongst other free radio shows and radio stations around, it says there's more interest online that people, for you to trend, there has to be a certain amount of tweets. A volume of tweets have to be at one time, supersede those other conversations that are happening on Twitter. And we've seen this happening every day. And people are not complaining listening to us because we're giving them good information. We're giving them opportunities on how to even access some information, what other, financial. I mean, Gareth has an amazing program on his show. Wade brings in CEOs, and these CEOs get a one-on-one with listeners. They ask questions that they'll never have a chance to ask on any station, because again, to answer your question, we are not regulated by CASA, we are not regulated by BCCSA, we are uncensored, but I'm quite aware that you know, we have families, we have people. It's a simple argument. We'll have to bring in YouTube and other websites first before they can come to Chat Central. We live on an IP, we are online, but we're also responsible. Hence, our content is inspiring. Now, what percentage are we proposing with the prices? One is, our proposal is simple. We never said data must be free. We are aware from research that networks can make, currently there are some networks that are giving away free WhatsApp. If that is possible, they can cut the cost in half. We can move from a 149 a gig to a 75 rand a gig. It's possible, unless they still want to have nice bonuses and packages to go abroad when, you know, come festive season. The truth of the matter is they can sustain their business and still give out these exciting programs and CSI that they support by cutting the data in half. The reason why, back to the issue of India, comparing apples with apples, I can firmly say we are comparing apples with apples because Ghana, I won't use a bigger population like China. Let me bring you home. Ghana has half the population, but more networks, simply because the spectrum has opened, there are more players in the scene. South Africa has twice the population of Ghana, but only three key networks make a decision on the ceiling. And it's a request that CASA regulates that pricing. At some point, we need to find a cap ceiling of how much a gig can cost a user. Nigeria, the same applied. MTN was very expensive when they started in Nigeria. Then came this amazing billionaire who owns Glo. When Glo came on the market, they didn't have a choice. They had to cut the price the following day. They signed 18 artists. I can give you a whole list. Some of them are my close friends. They were giving them money to endorse the brand. I'm talking millions. You come to South Africa, it's quite rare where you have a group of artists getting those type of endorsements. MTN Nigeria had deep pockets and could still afford to cut their data price. Their data price is way lower to what the data price in South Africa is today. Again, because Glo and other networks came in aggressively. And they came in aggressively understanding the local market. They were local, they were Nigerian-owned based companies, and they're still thriving till today. Obviously, the 5 billion, which was cut quite significantly, did hurt their margins. But we are paying probably for that fine that was imposed in Nigeria. So it is possible, given the statistics, the population of other areas where networks are operating in Africa, to replicate the same system here in SA. Beck, you spoke about, are we posing a threat to networks? If you go to Ghana, Tanzania, I have a friend in Nigeria who owns a WASP company and is one of the app developers. Networks are paying companies like Touch Central to come up with these apps because people are getting more and more data beyond social media. We are creating content. We should be paid for creating this platform. Networks should be paying us because there's more interaction online. They know between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. there's a guy who has 1.4 million followers on Twitter who you can call, interact with. And that's creating more revenues. We don't even share a portion of what it costs you to listen to us. All this money goes to networks. So how are we posing a threat when we just gave them reason for why they should exist? They control the streaming between us, the content providers, and our listeners. And we're not even charging them. We're doing this as a way of expanding
as a way of creating opportunities by employing people, by creating content that is inspirational. But in the whole ecosystem, there's one person that benefits, and that's a network provider. So the truth is, at no point we are posing a threat, even with this campaign. Data Must Fall is a conversation that's going to lead to implementing lower cost for data. We want to see this happening. We gave networks 30 days from last week. Today we are on the 25th day. They haven't responded. We've had the support from political parties. For the first time, I witnessed a consensus with DA, EFF, and ANC on one cause. That to me deserves an applause. I retweeted this morning Helen Diller's tweet on the issue of data. And again, if these three big parties can come together against three networks, how much noise do we need to make out there to get the message across? This dialogue for me, it's important, but it should have an action plan. We will not stop this cause till there's respect for customers in South Africa, till there's respect for that young man who receives a text message that your data has been depleted and you can't even explain what that means. You are on Twitter for 3 minutes, next minute the network tells that your data is depleted because you're not going to scrutinize your data. I happened to travel to the States recently, I came back, and my data was gone by the time I left it. At the last time I checked, I was on Wi-Fi all the time. So again, to the castle, and I'm glad they're here. It is our request to please enforce some form of a regulating, to regulate the prices with the networks. They know very well it's possible to cut prices without people in those companies losing jobs. It is also possible for them to consider our campaign, again, being non-hostile, then it can lead to unfavorable consequences for them. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for the responses and presentation. I think the message is very clear from what you advocate for and clarifying. We would definitely tomorrow interact with the mobile operators and hear from them in terms of the issues that we have raised. That's why it's important for us to ask those questions and interact, so that when we interact with them tomorrow, we can pose these questions to you on your behalf, what you have got here, and those who have raised issues. Members, I think that concludes the presentations for today. We are going to proceed tomorrow. Just to indicate that I think there's one more presentation that members need to have received. Thank you.
open your email. Save that.